You know, guys, looking at the whole issue of church, we started last week, and last week was a really heavy message. It's kind of a message to kind of help us to wake up to the reality of our reality, where we are at as a church and as individuals, and hopefully God stirred your hearts, and the desire was created in you for something more, something different. You know, I'll be just flat out honest with you. I think we've got to make a decision in our hearts and in our minds that we just don't want to be another church in Clearfield County. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, when you look at our town here, there are 10 churches. We're one of 10 churches. I have no clue how many churches there are in Clearfield. There are churches in Hyde. There are churches throughout the community and throughout the country here in the county, and we just don't want to be another church. Do you understand what I'm saying? We want to be what God wants us to be. And part of that is, I think what we like to say is we're a church of real people. Well, which means, really, to be honest with you, we want to be a real church. But we got to understand what that means. Did you understand what I'm saying? You got to understand what church means. Because the sad fact is that for many of us, we have wrong concepts of church. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have wrong concepts of what church is. And they come in, those concepts come naturally because if you've been raised in church or if you've gone to church most of your life, you kind of develop those wrong concepts. But the problem is those wrong concepts are not necessarily biblical, although we try to impose them on the Bible. So I want us to think for a moment about some of the wrong concepts. So here's the thing. Many Christians have a wrong concept of church. You might be here and you have a wrong concept of a church. I'll be honest with you. You know, I've been a believer now for 30 years, and even for some of my ministry years, I've been pastoring now in pastoral ministry for over 20 now. I had a wrong concept of church. I had a wrong concept of what church is. And you might be here, and whether you realize it or not, you have a mindset about what church is. And it's usually because it's been influenced by your church background or a church that you were involved in or something you read or something you saw on TV. And so you have this concept of what church is. But a lot of times, as I said, it's not in the Bible. It's just something that you believe it should be. And so for some, church is just simply a service. It's that service we go to once a week on Sunday. So we're either there for Sunday school, or we're there for Sunday school in church, or we just come for the worship service. And that's your concept. It's the organization. It's the incorporation in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It's the music time and the preaching time, and then I could go do what I gotta do the rest of the week. And so a lot of us have a wrong concept. Can we not acknowledge that? Is it possible that you're here today and you've been operating from a wrong concept? Probably the chances are yes, because I have. And if I have, it's very possible that a lot of us have, haven't we? Here's the second thing I want you to see about the wrong concept. Many Christians have a consumer mentality concerning church. Many Christians have a consumer mentality. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, you see it when you hear people say, well, you know, I'm going to Sunday school over at this church, and then I hop in my vehicle and I drive over to make sure I get the service over at that church because I really like the band there, or I really like the choir, and then I'm involved with them in this other church on Sunday evening because of, you know, I can be involved in this program and it ministers my needs. So we have this kind of consumer mentality. Do you know what I mean? It's like I can have the best of all these different worlds, or I like going to this church because it meets this need with me. Isn't that what a consumer mentality is? Is when you go and buy, you're buying for who? Yourself and your family. Do you know what I'm saying? Yourself and your family. So you've got this concept of church is what you can get out of it. Did you understand what I'm saying? It's what you get out of it. And in fact, you'll hear people say things like this. I feel for pastors who have had this said to them. I've had this said to them a few times. I've had people come up to me and said, I just don't get anything out of your teaching. I don't get anything out of what you're saying. I've heard pastors tell, have had people come and say, God's not speaking through you to me. You know, can I be honest with you? Those kind of statements, listen to it. I am not getting anything. What is that reflective of? You're there for you. All right, let me just stop for a moment. I am not naive enough to think that you're going to walk away from here every Sunday getting something from what I say. Chances are some of you probably won't. But if your concept of church is what you can get from George, you got a wrong concept. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because church is so much more than that. Being a part of a church is so much more than what you can get from the preacher or what you can get from the music or what you can get from Sunday school. Do you understand? Or from the men's program or the ladies' program or this Bible study or that Bible study. Church is so much more than that. Do you understand that? We've got many Christians have such a consumer mentality concerning church. So here's what happens. You hear of a new church that's being started in the area. It's got dynamic worship. And pastors get worried. Oh, what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about that? Because they already know that some of their people who have this consumer mentality are going to what? Try out the new thing. And that's just normal. But all of that's based upon what? A wrong concept. A wrong concept. Here's the other thing I want you to see. Church is seen only from the perspective of a service or a program. We've kind of mentioned that already. Your concept of church is only from the perspective of the service. What kind of worship do they have? Have you ever heard anybody say something like that? What kind of worship do they have? What does that mean? Well, they're talking about the service. They're talking about the music. Folks, that's not biblical. Because worship is not what you experience. Worship is what you give. Did you hear me? You may want to write that down. Worship is not what you experience. Worship is what you give to God. It's your heart and what you give to Him. So whether it's a completely traditional service or a contemporary service like ours or something in between or maybe something that's not even has music, the point is are you worshiping when you're getting with God's people? Are you giving to God from your heart? But see, so many people have reduced it down to just a service or just a program. Well, we don't really like the preaching there, but they got great kids programs there. It's all about a program. All of that points to a problem, isn't it? That for most of us and for most North Americans, we have a wrong concept about church. Period. And I'll be the first one to admit it. I've been there. But what we want to do, here's what we want to do. We want to understand church from a biblical perspective. We want to understand what church really is. Did you understand what I'm saying? What church really is. What God intended for the church. And I think the only way that you can come to that conclusion is to go back to the very first church. What do you mean the first church, George? Well, there were many churches that are mentioned in the New Testament. Every one of Paul's epistles is written to a church. But there's a first church where it started in Jerusalem with the apostles. And then it kind of blew up from there and went many directions. But we can see just right in the very beginning in Acts chapter 2, we can see the description of a Spirit-empowered church and where their focus was. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about church life. We're going to talk about being a real church. Where should our focus be? What kind of concepts should we have about church? And here's what my prayer is. Here's what I'm anxious for you and me, okay? That we would get rid of our wrong concepts and that we would put our focus on what we need to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we would put our focus where we need to be as a church. Because folks, I'm going to be honest with you. If your concept is that church is just from 10:45 till 12, you are missing it. Because whether you realize it or not, church is throughout the week because church is about people. And it's about belonging to people. Did you understand what I'm saying? So let's look at it together. Just a few verses here. We're going to look at verses 42 through 47. You know, and I think I've been here 14 years now, almost 14 years. I have preached from this passage maybe three or four different times. This might be my fourth or fifth time. I don't keep count. But we keep coming back to this. Why? Because I think sometimes we got to be reminded about why we're here, right? Did you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to be reminded why you're here, right? Look at what he says. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, folks, what we're going to do is we're going to look here and we're basically going to see five things that come out of church life about being a real church. Here's the first one. Look at verse 42. It says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, what does that mean, George? Well, what it means here is this, that they, as a group, spent time studying God's Word. Did you understand what I'm saying? As a group, it wasn't that they were preached at, preaching as a part of instruction, but they spent time in God's Word. So here's what I want you to see. The point I want you to see is this, is that helping each other understand God's Word is a priority. If you're going to be a church, it has to be a priority among each and every one of us here to help each other understand God's Word. Did you understand what I'm saying? So there's going to be different people. Here's the thing. I'm not naive. Okay? I'm not naive enough to think that I'm the only one here who's got all the education, who knows everything there is about the Bible. Because that's not true. Because God shows us each different things in the Word of God. And while you can learn from me, I can learn from you. Do you understand? And so there you are. You maybe don't understand something in this one area. We are in a body of believers where maybe somebody can help you to understand that as you help them to understand something. Do you understand? That's reality. So that definitely blows away the whole thought of it just being a service, right? Because when you have a service, you have a talking head up here who talks at you for 40 minutes. And you're supposed to allow your head filled with mush to fill up with facts to be able to go on with life, right? But that's not church. Church is each of us helping each other understand God's Word. Here's what I'm learning. It's been an interesting year so far, and you know, we've had a lot of different things happen and difficulties and struggles here at the church, and I'm understanding that as I read God's Word, it's like I understand more than I ever did. Why? It's called age and experience. Age and experience. Because now I see it differently than I ever saw it before. The truths mean more. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so here's the thing. Some of you have been stomping around this earth a whole lot longer than I have. And you've gone through a lot different circumstances and difficulties than I have. And God's Word has come alive to you in different ways than it has for me. And so therefore, when I read it, I maybe don't see what you see, but you can help me to see it because you've lived it. Did you understand what I'm saying? Or I can help you to see it because I've lived it now. Do you understand what I'm saying? The priority needs to be that we help each other understand God's Word. That's what it means to continue steadfastly. That word steadfastly means it was a priority. Folks, there's a reason why we tell you to read your Bibles. There's a reason why we give you daily breads. There's a reason why we have a Bible app with devotions on it. There's a reason why we have Bible reading plans in the back. Because we understand that God's Word is life to you. And we want you to understand it. So if we're going to be a real church, it needs to be a priority that we're here to help each other to what? Understand God's Word. Understand God's Word. Here's the second thing. Look with me, verse 42. Not just that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, but they continued steadfastly in fellowship. Fellowship. Now the word fellowship there is the Greek word koinonia, which means intimate fellowship. So here's what I want you to see. Intimate relationships are a vital part of a church. Intimate relationships are a vital part of a church. You know, it's interesting to me. You know, I am in my education a product of what is known as church growth. As I look back at my degrees, a lot of my degrees, except for the missions degree, I was steeped in teaching about church growth and growing a church and becoming a big church and everything. Well, here's the interesting thing. So all that church growth stuff, after years of all that church growth stuff in North America and becoming a big church and thinking big and being big and all of this, here's what they've come to the conclusion of what the optimal size for a church is. Do you want to know what an optimal size for a church is? It's not 1,000. 200 people. Why? You want to know why they say that? Because the optimal size is 200 people because the church can still have, are you ready for this, intimate relationships with each other. Because if you get bigger than that, you just become somebody sitting in a seat and you don't really know who's there and nobody misses you. Do you know what I mean? Because if you're gone, I'm going to be honest, well, we miss you. Now, we don't come hounding you. Now, they used to do that years ago. If you weren't there, why weren't you here? First thing, I mean, you got a call at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. We missed you. But we don't do that, okay, because I'm sleeping at 2 o'clock. I'm not going to call you, okay? All right? But we miss you. You're a part of our body. Why? Because intimate relationships are a vital part of a church. If we want to be a real church, it's not just about, if you see it more than just a service, you're going to connect with people here. Now for some of you, that's going to be hard. Because you're not like that. You're introverted. And reaching out to other people, that's kind of like sandpaper. You know, it just goes against the grain. It's like taking your nails on a chalkboard. You know, you don't like that. But hey, somebody's going to reach out to you. It's about relationships. It's about intimate relationships. And notice something. It says there, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly, not just in helping each other understand God's Word. They made it a priority to get to know each other. Did you understand what I'm saying? So here, if you come, I'm going to be honest with you. If you come and you come in a church, and you don't talk to anybody the whole time you're here, the problem's not anybody else, it's you. Because you got a wrong concept of church. Because to you it's just a service. You've got to view church as more than that. It's intimate relationships with people. So ladies, connect with other ladies. Dudes, connect with other dudes. That's got to be a vital part of a church. Here's the third thing. Let's continue on there. in breaking of bread. Here's what I want you to see. Breaking of bread in the New Testament refers to the Lord's table, or communion, if you may call it that. It's talking about Christ-centered worship. So here's what I want you to see. Christ-centered worship is the focal point of the church. It's all about Jesus. Folks, when they get up here and they play the music and they exercise their abilities, I want to be honest with you. I am so impressed by our band. You want to know one of the reasons why I'm impressed by them? Because I definitely can't do what they do. And you don't want me to try to do what they do, because you'll be like, out of here with your head, you know, because I can't do music, and you don't even want to hear me sing, because I can't sing. But I'm going to be honest with you, the why they are here, it's not them. It's not for you to be impressed with their abilities. It's not about them. It's about drawing your heart to worship Jesus. So you think about the songs they pick. Did you understand what I'm saying? You think about the music they pick. It's to draw you to focus on who? Jesus. Think about the last song we sang. It's the cry of someone who says they want to be different today. They don't want to be where they used to be. They want Jesus to bring them to where they need to be. See, that's got to be a vital part. If ever we get to the place where a mistake happens in the music and we're like, I can't believe that happened. Can't they be perfect? Then we got problems. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then we got problems. Because nobody can be perfect, because you ain't perfect. I'm not perfect. There's only one who's perfect. He needs to be the focus. What? Jesus. Because if we get distracted by anything else in our worship, it's not about Jesus anymore. And if you're going to be a real church, it's about who, folks? Jesus. Jesus. That's the next thing I want you to see there. Christ-centered worship is the focal point of the church. Then look with me. Last part of verse 42, and look also verse 43. And in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I think they're very much connected. Why? Because you gotta have prayer first before you see God work. You gotta have prayer first before you see God work. And so here's what I want you to see, is that believing prayer is evident in the church. Believing prayer. You know, you can have prayer. Prayer can be so rote. Prayer can be so routine. Prayer can be so religious. It says nothing. It means nothing. But what we're talking about is that that a vital part of any church, a real church, is that people, when they come together, they're not really concerned about how they're praying or what words they're using. They just know that God listens to them, and they believe that God's going to answer. So when they pray for somebody who's sick, they come to a place where they say, Lord, whatever your will is, but Lord, we believe you could do anything in their life. When somebody has a need, God, we know that you could do anything. We believe you. I think the reason why we don't see God do as much in our lives and in our church as we'd like to is because we're not asking. Isn't that what he says in James? You have not because you what? Ask not. See, let me just be flat out honest with you, man. This latest thing that we've gone through, and God is bringing us through that. You know, we were we were $5,500 in the hole at the beginning of the end of January because the offerings were down. Hey, you want to know what? We're only 27 in the hole at the end of February. God provided. God is providing. He's lifting us out of it. So you just keep praying. You keep praying. But what was happening with us is we weren't praying anymore. Have you noticed how George is praying during the service? We had people here yesterday for breakfast. Hey, you're missing a mean breakfast, but that's not why we're gathering here, is to eat a mean breakfast. We're gathering to pray and lift up our church. And then on Friday mornings, I got three men who show up to pray with me for our church on Friday mornings. Prayer. Why? We're believing God. We're waiting on God. God, you're the only one who can give us wisdom. You're the only one who can provide for us. You're the only one who can work in our church and do what you need to do in the lives of people. We weren't believing anymore. We weren't praying as we should be. This is what a real church does. And then there's this. The final thing. Look with me at verse 44 through 47. And he's not describing Christian communism here. I used to hear preachers talk about that. No, he's not describing Christian communism here. Look at what he says. And all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among them as anyone had a need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Here's the last thing I want you to see here. Genuine concern for others was expressed in action. That's what a real church is. It isn't just that we're trying to help each other understand God's Word. It isn't just that we have intimate relationships with each other. It isn't just that we're Christ-centered in our focus as far as our worship. It isn't just that we are believing in prayer for God to do great things. But we are genuinely concerned for others, and that genuine concern isn't just expressed in, oh, I feel bad for them. It's doing something for them. It's doing something for them. It's helping them. You know, I had that just lived out this week. Told you about the window not working in my Yukon and driving down the road on a 4-lane with a 26-degree air conditioner blowing in my ear. Somebody came and helped us. Took care of it. I just had to pay for the part. Because they were concerned. They knew what was going on in our life. And I wanted to pay them, but they wouldn't take that. That's what it is. You need to be able to do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Not just for George, but for whoever here, because you might have the ability or the means or the comfort to give to somebody. So, and it's got to be more than, oh, I just feel sorry for them. No, do something for them. That's what a real church is. See, it's got to be more than just a service, folks. It's got to be more than just some program. It's a body of believers where we care for each other. Then notice something. I mean, the last part, verse 47. The impact of that. The impact of that is that God adds to the church people who are getting saved. Because I'll be honest with you, folks. I'll be honest with you. You'd be surprised how many people I meet in our community that used to go to church. That used to go to church. You know what I'm talking about. You've met them, right? You'd be surprised how many I met that used to go here at some point. But they're not going anywhere because they got hurt. Or they got disappointed. And they long for something new. They long for something different. Because they have a wrong concept of what church was. Or they were told a wrong concept of church. And that they need to be exposed to is what? A real church. A real church. What's a real church, George? This church that we see in Acts. That's what we need to be like. So folks, I'm going to be honest with you. We can look at the concepts there, see those five things and say, yeah, that's what we need to be, George. But you know what, folks? It's got to be more than just an agreement of our minds to it. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be our heart embracing that this is what we need to be and it produce action on our part. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've got to be more than just saying, yeah, we want to be that. We've got to say, God, I want to be there. What do I need to do to change to be there? Did you understand? So here's what we can do. Here's how you wrap it up. Let me ask you a couple questions. Do you have a wrong concept of church? Do you? I mean, I've admitted to you, I have. You got to ask yourself, what's your concept of Kerwinsville Christian Church? That will dictate a lot of things in your life. In fact, it leads right into the second question. Has that affected your commitment level? You know, it's funny because I talk to pastors now, and you know, a big thing among pastors is to talk about their attendance. That's just the way it is, folks. How many people are coming to church? And you'll hear pastors, because years ago, 20 or 30 years ago, church was attended in how many people are showing up regularly every Sunday. You remember that? How many were showing up every Sunday? Well, you know what it's like now when you talk to preachers about attendance? They don't talk about how many people show up every Sunday. They talk about how many people show up in a month. Because they know that people won't show up every Sunday. Because there might be a better option. A better something going on. And we don't need church. We need this today. Or, you know what? I need my extra sleep today. I've had a rough week, and so I want to sleep in today. And what that is all reflecting is it comes out of a wrong concept of church. See, if you see church as just the music and just the message from George, you're not going to be here. But if you see church as more than that, as the people, as the intimate relationships and the genuine concern and the believing prayer, you'll say to yourself, I got to be there. Something's missing if I'm not there. See, it's all about wrong concepts. So do you have some wrong concepts? And is it affecting your commitment level? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it affecting your commitment level? And that's really where a lot of North American Christianity is at. That's where a lot of us are at today. Our commitment levels aren't what they used to be. And we're not talking about you being here every Sunday so you could say that you got your brownie points in. We're not going to give you a free bicycle to make sure that you're here every Sunday, okay? Because that's just pure legalism, folks. It's not that at all. It's that you're here because you sense that this is where God's at, God's people's at, and you need to be a part of them. So what do? Here's our action point. We got to ask the Spirit to help us. Help us do what, George? Ask the Spirit to help us to be a real church. Lord, I don't want us to be just another big church. Lord, I don't want us to be just another prominent church. Lord, I don't want us to be any of those things. Lord, I just want to be the church you want us to be. Lord, I want to be the real church. That's how you need to be praying. Help us to be a real church. Help us to be a real church. Folks, I think that's what God wants for us. I think that's why you're here. You know, I've been here almost 14 years now, and you can't believe how many times I've heard people say this, that when they walked in the door, they sensed something different. And that was before they ever even heard me. And that was before they ever even heard the music. Folks, those were statements that were made back. Do you remember when we used to have music here, and it used to be a video on the screen? It wasn't the psychedelic stuff we got going on right now, but I mean, it was a video with music taped in the background, and we would sing. I mean, we've come a long way, haven't we? But people would say, there's something different here. They sense something here. Isn't that what we want? It's about being real. The real body of Jesus. Ask Him to help us to be that. Let's pray.